Mission 2, San Jose Avenue.
From our 901 Mission Street studios, you are listening to the San Francisco Chronicle.
Welcome to Total SF Heather Night, still high off our fantastic on-location interview this week.
I'm really enjoying that we're trying to get out and about and not just record on Zoom. We were at Mount Davidson, and it was stunning.
Yeah, I get kind of, like, really sad when I'm on Zoom with you. And it's not you, but I just don't want to be on Zoom any more than I have to. And now that we've done these location interviews, I don't want to do it any other way.
Me too. It's so much better.
Yeah, well, our guest today is Luke Wicker, probably listening to this on a 10-hour flight to London right now. But this isn't an angry person leaving San Francisco story. Luke loves San Francisco enough to run all 76 of the city's peaks in one day. This was a 65-mile run through San Francisco, covering 10,000 feet of elevation. I'm blown away.
Yes, and ladies, you'll be glad to know that I did a lot of digging about the bathroom situation.
There's a lot of bathroom talk in this episode. We don't get too personal, but there's a lot of questions involving the bathrooms.
Mostly from me.
So we met on the peak of Mount Davidson. Heather, described the scene.
Yeah, so we carried up folding chairs and little tables and mics and got our workout climbing from the base to the top of the mountain, and then set up there. We could see Sutro Tower, the skyline, Salesforce Tower, Transamerica Pyramid, going south to the Hunters Point Crane and the Bay, and you could see a lot up there. It was great, and we were up there on a perfectly clear blue day.
Yeah, I'm amazed also how San Franciscans now think it's totally normal for like a couple of people to lug up 50 pounds of podcasting equipment on the tallest mountain of the city. We tried not to get to like the really scenic areas so people wouldn't be bugged by us. But so they're walking by like with their dogs and we're conducting this podcast. It must have been totally weird and nobody even like blinked an eye.
Yeah, I think they were wondering secretly what we were up to, but nobody said anything.
So we talk with Luke about how he started ultra running. It's not what I suspected. Every one of your bathroom-related ultra running questions are answered in this podcast. And we talk a lot about San Francisco, including its best and most underrated peaks. Lots of love for San Francisco in this episode. Shout out, I just want to say, to Liam Lonsdale, Dave Schweissguth, Patty O'Leary, and photographer Tony DePasquale. They all ran. They were like his support group. And I didn't get to really ask him about it, but I wanted to shout them out because this was a real team effort. Ultra runner Luke Wicker coming up. I'm Peter Hartlob here with Heather Knight, and this is Total SF.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to Total SF, and welcome to Mount Davidson, Luke Wicker, ultra runner, just hauled up a bunch of stuff up here. He had run miles and miles before it, and I was out of breath at the top, and he's just like, hey, how's it going, talking? Welcome to our podcast, Luke.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. So grateful to have a sunny day on Mount Davidson with no wind.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful up here. Birds are chirping. That's not sound that we piped in post-production. Describe our scene right here. What's our view like, Heather?
So we're at the top of Mount Davidson. I'm taking pictures as we talk. We can see Sutro Tower. We can see Salesforce Tower and the whole city skyline, Transamerica Pyramid, the Bay, Hunters Point Crane. We can see a lot up here. It's beautiful.
Heather, where would you rate this in the three remotes that we've done now? The top of a drag club, SF Oasis, a slow street that was being painted as a mural, and the top of Mount Davidson.
I'm going to say this is my favorite. I mean, I love talking to the drag queen, but in terms of views, this is stunning.
Yeah. Well, Luke, we're thrilled to have you here. I've talked to you once already. We're going to cop to that because I wanted to get your story out as quickly as possible. Let's start there. 76 peaks, 10,000 feet of elevation, 65 miles in one day, up before sunrise, done before sunset. How did this idea come up?
And how did you physically do it?
Well, yeah. So I guess with the idea, you know, there's a history of creative projects in this city. We've had Ricky Gates running every single street. We have the two of you with your 49-mile makeover and the Mooney project. And, you know, there's something to be said for getting creative with running, which is, you know, there's set distances a lot of the time and people are just kind of happy to run a marathon or happy to run a half, or, you know, in the ultra world it could be 50 miles or such. But there's another level to it, which is like, what happens when you use your entire city as your canvas, and what can you do to like really get to know your city better? And I think as an ultra runner, the best way to do that is to run the city. So I was lucky enough to pull it off without injury so far.
Well, we're gonna get deep into the run in a little bit, but I want to know kind of how you think. You arrived in San Francisco in 2015. You get in this city. Most people, you know, think about the places they can go, think about the beautiful views. Do you start looking at the hills and like plotting out? You use the word canvas.
Yeah. I mean, we're at Mount Davidson now, and we can see probably at least like 10 or more peaks, and that's really hard to kind of ignore from a running aspect. You're like very tempted to look at one and think about how you can get to the top. And that is, I guess, the temptation is hard to resist when you come to San Francisco and you know it's a hilly city. Everyone talks about it being a difficult place to run. But as a kind of a runner that wants those challenges, it's exactly the kind of place you want to be. So I was running Twin Peaks for a while, and that's obviously the famous spot to go to, and the views are amazing, and you start to run that a lot. But yeah, I guess there's an element of one-upmanship, I'm not going to lie, some sort of ego, some ego to it, where you're like, could I do all of them? And then just seeing it as I mentioned, like, what a beautiful thing to have seen the city from every single high point, and that was kind of the inspiration.
So what date was this that you did this run?
Yeah, March the 6th. I'm honestly terrible at waking up, so that was a challenge. But waking up at 4 that morning, and then I started running at just after 6 at Sutro Heights Park by the Cliff House.
Uh-huh.
And Sutro Baths, and that's kind of the perfect place to start, because you're running into sunrise.
Yeah.
And I've never run from that side of town at sunrise before, so that getting the kind of view of some of those streets at sunrise also felt pretty epic.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so how many hours were you running?
Just under 13, so 12. I think it's 12 hours, 57 minutes.
Wow.
And exactly 30 seconds, which feels...
But who's counting?
Yeah, who's counting? And it also feels quite fake to say 30 seconds, so I query it myself. But yeah, it was a long day, and I finished just after sunset. So
wow.
It was life in a day, in a sense.
Wow. And how many breaks did you take? This was an issue on our Total Muni, because I have to go to the bathroom more often than Peter, being a woman. So he kept getting annoyed with me. how many breaks were you taking?
I took, I think, 4, maybe 5. So we plot, you know, in these kind of projects, you're plotting out your aid stops, where you can get food, where you can stop for a bathroom break. And 4 official stops and 1 unofficial stop in the Presidio right at the end, just to get food, just to kind of also psych yourself up again mentally, and also to admire the view. So each of those stops was at a peak.
Oh,
so
cool.
One was here.
Uh-huh.
And it's a bit too tempting just to stop and hang around for a long time, but a few of my team were on my case to get run in and to kind of...
What's an acceptable length of break?
That's a great question, because I think for me it would probably be like 20 minutes, but for faster people, it's probably 5 or 10 minutes at the most. Paddy, who's one of my team and ran with me for a bit on the day, he was kind of nagging to kind of get me moving again and keeping me on time.
Heather has a lot of bathroom break questions. and I want to say for the record that I wasn't angry at Heather about the bathroom breaks. I was kind of more just like, really? I was like more astounded. Another one? We just had one. All right. We'll find it. So how much of this is planned out like block by block by block? Because I saw the Strava and it's all around. And how much of it is like, okay, there's points where we're going to have to wing it. We're going to have to see if we can get access to this.
Yeah. So obviously you kind of want to run a lot of this kind of loop. And I had run most of it except for some of the dog patch section, which I knew pretty well from running in the past. And I was almost perfectly kind of on the intended loop for most of it, except there's a stretch, I think, through kind of Bayview where I can never remember what the name of the place is, but it's kind of a food depot where all the trucks leave from. And it's the street, I think, below Evans Ave. I can't remember the name of the actual street, but the plan was to pass through this kind of shipping port and really just get to view all the containers and get to see them doing their thing, because it felt like a really unique stretch of the city. And they had construction there, so we had to detour. And at that point, it threw us off a little bit because you're like trying to make sure you're not off route or going further. You know, at least for me mentally, every single wrong turn is pretty kind of heartbreaking, because you're just like, okay, we're going to have to retrace our steps. And now I've got to do an extra like half a mile. So you are really trying to get everything right. I did a lot of street view scouting as well, just to like remind myself of things. So even though I knew a peak or I knew a route, I would kind of go through turn by turn on street view late at night, just to make sure that we kind of did have the right directions to go and that I wasn't kind of having tricks of the mind. Mm-hmm. In Potrero Hill, we took one wrong turn and ended up going up just an incredibly steep hill that I knew I wanted to go up, but from a slightly different angle where I had a slightly less of a steep gradient. And we were maybe 45, 50 miles in at that point. So the idea of going up the steepest part of it also broke me. Yeah.
So while we were talking, I got a note from my editor. Not kidding. I had sent her a note saying, hey, I'm going to miss the meeting. I'm on Mount Davidson recording a podcast. Sent her a photo. She writes, she has a question for you. This is my point. She says, as a runner who sometimes covers distance, I'm curious how he found bathrooms along the way.
See, everybody women want to know about bathrooms.
Everybody has questions about the bathrooms. Tell us everything about the bathrooms.
Yeah, that's
what that's what the listeners want to know.
That's a great... Oh, God. I think the truth of the matter is that I was so dehydrated that by, like, midday, I was not going to the bathroom a lot, and which is worrying, obviously. You're like, you're drinking like two bottles of water or two handheld flasks of water between every aid, and that was every like 10 miles or so. And I guess without wanting to confess too many things on a public podcast, also I was lucky just to kind of step off a trail in Presidio and do
it's
my thing.
It's easier for guys.
It is. Yeah. We're lucky, very lucky in that sense. So I think, there's kind of not a lot of public bathrooms along the way.
This is a problem in San Francisco in general.
It is. Yes. It is. Coit Tower, I think. I was tempted to go there and then just gave up waiting. So
well, we won't ask you any more about bathrooms. That's
not a guarantee.
What was your favorite peak?
We're on it. We're on Mount Davidson, which I love. I think hold it dearly in my heart from just years of running up to it and also gazing up at it, really. You know, you can see this face that we're on that kind of comes out of the forest, and it always looks quite majestic.
Yeah.
And so to me, that is the peak.
I think Mount Davidson is sort of like the underrated cousin to Twin Peaks, but why do you like this one better?
Exactly that. I think you've got so many tourists on Twin Peaks, and also the cars, I think, have now, and obviously we all feel probably quite strongly about this.
Yes.
The cars have kind of ruined the vibe since they reopened that road. But I love that it's pedestrians up here. Everyone's just walking, hiking around. You can kind of come through the trails if you come from the side of Mount Davidson. And then there's something great about the fact not many people know it's the tallest peak in the city.
Uh-huh.
So everyone goes to Twin Peaks thinking that's the tallest point. And if you're a San Franciscan, maybe you already know that this is.
Yeah. And there's also a giant cross on the mountain, which I'm not particularly religious, and my little boys thought it was a plus sign for adding.
I just think about it as like, because the first time I saw it was in Dirty Harry, the movie. Mm. So I'm just like, oh, that's a Dirty Harry prop. I don't think about that. What about the most underrated peak? Are there one or two that, and you kind of mentioned this as one, but one or two that just like don't get enough love?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Bayview Park has a great peak. That I hadn't visited before really starting this project, and the views there are incredible. So, you know, we can see it from here. We're looking straight out at it, and the view is almost 360. So you can look out, see downtown, see Mount Davidson and everything there, but also you've got the 101, you've got the bay, and it's really quiet and it's very green at the top. So the more I've started to explore that place, the more I realized how underrated it is. And you can drive there and hike, kind of park at the bottom and hike up. It's actually one of the steepest climbs, at least of like the major peaks. So that was brutal. we definitely power hiked up that. There was no running, but it's also got a really cool scramble up to the top of the peak. So obviously, when you do a project like this, you're trying to hit the exact top because you don't want anyone calling you out and saying you didn't scale it. So we scrambled up this kind of bit of rock through some poison oak, got a few, you know, rashes from that. And then you stand on what is maybe an old kind of gas canister or something at the top that has tons of graffiti, all the evidence of people hanging up there. And you get to look out over the whole city from there.
We'll be right back after this short break.
So how'd you start running? Were you running in high school and college? I'm curious how the path starts for an ultra runner.
not at all, I have to say. So I was a soccer player for a long time, a lazy one at that. And then at art school, I just gave up all sports in favor of kind of trying to, become a creative mind. And at some point in my life in London, I just realized how much alcohol I was drinking and how much beer I was consuming. And that sent me on a physical kind of path of discovery again. And it kind of culminated in me actually running an ultra in the UK, where it was, the intention was that we would show up to an ultra race with a, I should say that ultra running is heavily male, and it shouldn't be, obviously. And so
it's because of the bathrooms.
It is, no doubt. You're right. And you often look at pictures of the start lines, and they're mainly men looking very macho, thinking they're about to run really fast. And so we turned up to this race in 2015, and my friend Sorrel back in the UK, she organized for lots and lots of women to turn up to this start line. So the ratio was like 50-50.
Oh, cool.
And so we all just showed up to that, and that was my first ultra. And it was 100K, and I thought that was it. I was done. And I moved here and then suddenly was like, oh, wait, this is even better. So you've got Marin, you've got the East Bay and South Bay and all the parks. So I kind of just continued from there.
What brought you from the UK?
Yeah, it was work. So I was a Londoner my whole life. And I honestly, I came to California once for a project, and we were so blessed with kind of amazing weather. And it was the summer of 2014. The World Cup was on, Soccer World Cup, and it was in Brazil. So we're on like the right time zone for things in comparison to being in Europe. And we spent 6 weeks in San Francisco, where we just got to see the city. And at that point, it was so, like, California felt like such a kind of dream. So when we were approached to come out here, there was like absolutely no hesitation on our part. So yeah, we moved out here, and I've been working at Facebook kind of this entire time, and they've been really supportive of everything. So it's allowed me we've traveled on loads of projects to see things, film things here. Running has taken me all over the country as well. So yeah, California now feels like home.
What about San Francisco? As you continued to live here, how did that evolve? Your relationship with the city and the running, mm-hmm. and your love for this city?
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. 2015 and 2016, I think at first I took these shortcuts of like, okay, I'm going to like take an Uber or a Lyft, or like, I wasn't at first using public transport as much as I should have been. And as soon as that changed, like, I started taking the tram a lot more, riding a lot more. And you just start to realize, like, why have I not been doing this whole time? Like, by taking those modes of transport, or by hiking or running, like, you see so much more of the city. And you start to kind of, you start to really realize how beautiful this place is. Even when it's foggy, like, that is incredibly scenic. And I think there's a parallel to London that is actually, in my opinion, quite a green city. You can look around and you see so much greenery on the peaks and in the parks. And so I think my relationship started to morph as we kind of just started to explore more. And of course, we also bought a car, so that helped.
And on Friday, the day that this podcast will come out, you're actually leaving San Francisco and going back home to London. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, so we want to be with family. We've obviously been really lucky to be here for 5 years, or nearly 6 years. So the prospect of seeing our little kind of nieces grow up without us it's been hard to take during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're away from family, you really want to give them that support. So mm-hmm. that's our intention, is to, once everything returns to normal, be closer to them. Mm-hmm. But we certainly haven't closed off San Francisco as a future home.
So this is the San Francisco round, that's what you're calling it.
Exactly.
And it's available to everybody.
Yeah, so again, I was really lucky to kind of find a list of hills online. This guy Dave, who must have had like 10, 15 emails from me, he was kind enough to respond to me and Liam. Both of us were kind of talking about this project for a while last year, and neither of us managed it at the time. And we looked at this list of hills, and you know, if you go into Wikipedia, I think there's 42 listed on Wikipedia, but that doesn't count kind of every single peak that if you were to look at the map, you'd see the contours and the elevation change on the map much, much more than 42 times. Yeah. So if you really start to dig in, you end up with, it's 79 peaks. There's probably a few more you could throw in if you looked at the coast, but three of those peaks aren't accessible right now. So we've got kind of the Japanese Tea Garden, the Botanical Garden. Both of those have very small peaks, but they're technically peaks going by this kind of process we had. but because you have to pay to get in if you're not a resident, and because they're kind of open at certain times of the day, we scrap those from the list.
So that it's almost become a genre when people leave San Francisco, which is what you're doing, to kind of two middle fingers on the way out, or, you know, the media, we're complicit, you know, $15 burritos, and that becomes the headline. That seems like the exact opposite of what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, it's weird to think about leaving a place and just trashing it, you know? Like, why would you do that when you've called it home for so long? And particularly San Francisco, I think there's so many good things about this city, and you really get a sense that people who live here take pride in kind of trying to look after it as a city. You know, it's referred to as a Phoenix city, and it always kind of comes back. And I think right now is the perfect time for it to reestablish its greatness in the kind of eyes of outsiders, what makes it special. And one of those many aspects is that it's a place that really allows for outdoor adventures, both beyond on the bridges and beyond, and in the city itself.
Well, I don't think you should leave San Francisco without taking our famous lightning round.
Yeah, happily.
Where's your favorite place in the city to get a burrito?
Yeah, Taqueria Cancun on Mission Street, just opposite Royal Cuckoo.
So I got to follow up on the burrito question. What do you order? Like, you're running, I looked at your Strava, it said 6,000 calories. It's like 6,300 calories. You're at the end of a run like that. What kind of burrito do you order to replenish
yourself?
You could
get like 5 burritos.
Yeah. Normally I'm kind of a veggie burrito, because their super veggie burrito is incredible. It's like the perfect combo. And obviously everyone's going to have a controversial take on this, but yeah, it's like the perfect amount of everything. So always that.
What's your favorite movie filmed in San Francisco?
Probably controversial, but The Rock.
Oh, that's a good one. We showed that at the Balboa.
Yeah, it's a great film. I mean, who wouldn't want to kind of jump around Alcatraz and kind of go from place to place there?
Who doesn't love Sean Connery?
Yeah, never apologize or feel like it's controversial to say The Rock is your favorite San Francisco movie. That's
very acceptable.
One of our lessons of the day, along with all the bathroom stuff. So.
What's your favorite place to get a stiff drink?
Ooh, I love Royal Cuckoo. Mm-hmm. That bar, for me, has like such a great vibe with the organ in there, all the music playing. And then we also used to go to Rock Bar a lot. Uh-huh. So again, they're a local to me, but I think they feel very San Franciscan. They've got a really good vibe, and the owners there are like lovely people.
Yeah. What was your first concert?
This is a weird concert, but there was a band called Jagged Edge back in the 90s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. like R&B band, and they came to London and I went to see them.
Okay. What will you miss most about San Francisco, and what are you glad to say goodbye to?
Oh my God, that's hard. There's so many things I'll miss. The weather, for one. I love it. Being from the UK, like the fact that we're sitting here in March and we've got blue skies above us is amazing. And then the amount of biking that happens here as well, I think mm-hmm. that it's a more bikeable city than I think people give it credit for. And obviously that's just continuing to increase with JFK Drive and those things. What I won't miss, I guess, is the price of coffee. we're like massive proponents of 4-barrel. We love their roasting. Yeah. So good, but
it's made you poor.
Yeah, I'm addicted to it, so I can't. I spend so much money on their beans.
Whatever you do, do not say what the price of that coffee is.
Or that will be the headline.
No one will talk about anything on this podcast except the $47.
My husband is also from England, and people always think Americans are terrible at determining accents, and they always think he's from Australia. Where do people think you're from?
Yeah, the same, actually. Same. They think I'm Australian or People think I'm from Essex, whereas I'm from Croydon in South London.
Oh, so. Don't even ask Americans to say where within England you're from. True. That would never happen. London has a famous Ferris wheel called the London Eye, which is popular and, to my knowledge, is just a permanent fixture. San Franciscans are spending the pandemic arguing about whether we should have a much smaller Ferris wheel in Golden Gate Park. Where do you stand on the Ferris wheel debate?
Do you get an idea where Heather stands on the Ferris wheel debate based on that question?
I am pro that Ferris wheel. I that's where I go and kind of run around. I do my workouts on that loop.
Uh-huh.
So because the track itself in Golden Gate gets quite busy, so I've just stuck to running around that space. And it, at night, it's lit up and it looks beautiful. And yeah, no one's on it, but like, what a cool thing to see in the kind of skyline.
Yeah. What is something that you're looking forward to about the pandemic ending? Something you're not allowed to do now that you really want to do?
I think group runs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's so many things with like the absence of human touch, I guess. So yeah. That, like getting drunk in a bar with people. But I really miss going running with groups of runners. We've got kind of San Francisco Running Company used to put on a run every Saturday here. And that's honestly how I found a lot of my friends and my running buddies, through those group runs. And they've been on pause, and I miss kind of trailing in the wake of all the fast runners in that group and mm-hmm. trying to keep up with them.
And last question, what is something you always make sure to squeeze into your busy day?
A bun.
I figured.
Very on brand.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, first of all, Heather and Luke, I think we need to get a fourth mic up here for all the people walking by who are like looking over and like, what the hell?
What is going on?
This is not, this is totally out of place. There was a dog there that I think wanted to come on our podcast.
Very good. Probably give better answers, actually. So
no, you were amazing.
Well, I wish you safe travels, and we hope you come back. And that means like to visit or to come and live or... this is what you did is one of the most San Francisco things I've ever heard. So I think you're just always going to be part of the fabric of this place. And please come back and let us know when you're around. And I may even go on a very short run with you.
Yeah.
Please. Not a long one.
I will not.
I would love that. Thank you so
much.
I will
drink in the bar with you at the end.
Yes, that's what we can do. We could run from bar to bar.
Excellent. Thank you so much, and safe travels, and we hope to see you soon.
Thank you.
You are listening to the San Francisco Chronicle. Thank you to Heather Knight and our guest, Luke Wicker. Total SF is a production of the Chronicle. Our music is The Tide Will Rise by the Sunset Shipwrecks off their album Community, and Cable Car Bell Ringing by 8-time champion Byron Cobb. Support Total SF in the newsroom that creates it by treating yourself to a digital Chronicle edition at sfchronicle.com/pod.